Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck and Julie Show, truth straight up. I like me back when I was younger, to tell you the truth.
At any rate.
That's our new open. Thank you to my
new open. Thanks. Yeah, she's great.
The show today brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. A lot going on today.
Well, there is a lot. Now, you may wonder why my baseball
cap. My
golf hat. I just got from the golf range. I'm getting an early Father's Day present. The world's most expensive driver being fitted for the XXIO.
Well, you didn't mention that part.
Well, I know, those are details.
Most expensive.
We're mortgaging our house.
We'll be doing our live broadcast.
But it'll add another 3 yards to my drive, at least they say. And so that's worth it. That's worth everything.
That's right. You've got to go get your fitting.
Got to get my fitting, so I'll probably leave here a few minutes before the program ends to rush down to Denver to get my official.
It's kind of like getting fitted for your wedding dress or something.
Very similar. In importance to the individual.
So that's why Chuck may be taking up a couple minutes early, but we have, we're hoping to get Patrick Neville. He's state representative for the, I guess he's from Douglas County, but minority leader. He is on the House right now. They got a lot of stuff done. I think
a lot of awful things are doing.
We'll get to that in a second. Theoretically, the legislature.
But I just got off a meeting, a Zoom meeting.
Wait, let me finish some of the show.
All right.
Okay. Then we have coming up at around 3:15, Karen Cataline, who's going to be filling in for us on Monday. So we're going to see what she's got going on. Rhonda Kennedy, another African-American conservative, is going to be on the show at 3:30. And then at 3:45 Denver time, you're going to listen to Jeanne Cook. She's got some information coming up about yet another rally. So there we go.
As a practical matter, I just got off a Zoom meeting for all the delegates and alternates to the Republican convention. And it started out, we were going to go to Charlotte, where Julie's brother lives, and he has this big townhouse right across from the convention center. We're going to stay there, and he's the world's most fun guy. He really is. I mean, talk about a perfect way to go for a convention, which you like to have some events. We're going to hold things there. It's going to be just great. We're going to save money because it would be free.
Wow, does this ever get better?
So I just got off with Alex and with Ken Buck and everybody else. Now only 6 people per state get to go to Charlotte, where they'll have all the meetings, and then you get to go to a celebration in Jacksonville, I guess, which I think is like a one-night thing. I mean, Thursday night.
That's where the president's going to have his acceptance speech.
Yeah, but all the other hoopla, I mean, I've been to a Trump rally, and it was great. I've been to Jacksonville in August, and it ain't so great. It's very hot, very muggy. In the afternoons, it just pours often. And it's, to spend all that money so you can just go to another, basically, it's another Trump event.
It's kind of unclear.
Everything's unclear, but the world's most perfect convention. We're going to do live updates. From the convention, Charlotte. We're not going to Charlotte where no one else, it's all closed meetings among, 300 people or something. It's not going to be the same, but nothing's the same in Corona age. So just get used to it.
It's another hoax. I see we got a lot of people on Zoom. So until we get Patrick, if you want to jump in, go ahead and do that. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008.
And let me give one more update. I listened to the oral arguments in the Flynn case for the D.C. Circuit, hoping this is going to be the end of the long nightmare. It was awful. It was just awful. Judge Wilkins, who is an African-American appointed by Obama, clearly likes, enjoys, and everything else. But we'll tell you what, we'll talk about the hearing, but it was not. And I've listened to, because I clerked for Judge Breitenstein on the 10th. So I've been to a lot of appellate court hearings, and I promise you that was not a happy event for Sidney Powell. No. But we got Patrick now on line three. Patrick, what's going on down there? How many more taxes can you guys layer it on us? How many Republicans betrayed their party and voted to put the Gallagher Amendment on? What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, tax after tax. I just don't think of any new ones because they'll run it at this point.
Well, I mean, what happened to your caucus? Who voted for them?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of folks, yeah, in both the Senate and in the House, the Republicans that wanted to, you know, put the repeal of the Gallagher Amendment on the ballot.
Because they just wanted to stick it to homeowners in favor of developers, which is what happens. Developers make out a fortune, and homeowners like us, this house will, you know, go to foreclosure with all the taxes they're going to ladle on. Who would? Can we have a list of those traitors? And God. Oh, well, we'll just leave it up to the public.
The votes out there. I mean, the worst part is that's just one of many. I mean,
yes.
So they passed the School Finance Act that will basically trigger a lot of these different districts' mills to go up to 27. Then they passed this, which goes to the voters at least. I think the voters will be smart on this and actually reject it overwhelmingly. But at least this one goes to the voters. And then they passed the 1420, which is another $400 million tax increase on businesses. I mean, they're just to call them drunken sailors is an insult to drunken sailors at this point.
Yeah. Are they aware, Patrick, that there's been a pandemic?
And nobody's made any money for the last 3 months? So we're just going to tax us to death?
I mean, what is...
Well, that's what I found funny, too, on that one, too. Like, Danae Ezra, the Democrat, got up there and kept saying, well, our poor fire districts and our library districts and these... Oh, gosh, it's so terrible. What about your citizens, the ones that actually pay any taxes? What about the citizen that, you know, got shut down and got their businesses shut down for 2 months, and now they're trying to come back, and then you're going to throw this, you know, decouple their federal tax rates, make those more complicated to file, then you're going to up their mill levy and the School Finance Act, and then you're going to pull away their Gallagher ratchet down.
And you already took away the exemption for seniors, the real estate exemption.
That actually is something that we were able to fight off.
Okay. Yay! Well, we don't get it because we moved in here too soon.
That's one of the many. Yeah, you and I probably don't qualify for it. I certainly don't. But that was one of the things that we actually fought hard from the very beginning, and we won on that. They did not bring that up. So,
well, let me
read what they're doing is they're going to balance the budget just by dwindling down the reserves and even more. Okay. So that's the bill they have that's going to balance the budget.
Walk us through what they did. So they're going to raise taxes. Are they going to try to raise taxes by repealing the Gallagher on homeowners? And then if that's not enough, then they're also, and this won't go to the voters, right, that they're going to try to essentially undo the CARES Act, undo the 2017 tax cuts for businesses. And we've been hearing, is the governor maybe going to veto that, or is that not going to happen?
Well, you know, I don't trust the governor because he's
smart man.
Has a different thing. So everyone's like, oh, if there's bright news, the governor's going to veto it. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. He also said that the legislature was going to decide how CARES Act money is spent. He said that he would veto the vaccine bill too, and he's not going to do that.
No, that's true.
I mean, he'll just wait and, you know, wait till Tim Gill tells him what to do and then decide. I don't trust him. But yeah, that one's like really gross because it basically decouples us from the federal exemptions. And so it's going to make it incredibly difficult for people to actually file their taxes. It's a $400 million tax increase that doesn't go to the voters. And then they've got another bill that's coming through right now that's going to add a 2.5% tax on all your health insurance premiums.
Oh,
I saw that. That's going to cost
insanity. It's like, oh, but it's not a tax. It's a fee. So you don't have to send it to the voters. Am I living in like some crazy world where we have this office of saving people money on healthcare in the governor's office that costs money in itself, and then we have a tax on healthcare? But who does this? You have an office on saving people money on healthcare, but then you add a tax to healthcare plans?
Let me clarify that. So they're going to tax my insurance plan? They're going to put a tax on that?
That's one of the bills they have coming forward. It's because they passed that reinsurance bill a year ago, and that was funded through the general fund. And remember, the governor came out and said, we save people so much money on their health care. Well, yeah, because you said
now we're going to tax them on
a large portion of it. So to make up for that, they're going to put a 2.5% fee on everyone's plan this year and then subsidize certain plans with that fee.
Well, and so call me crazy, but what happened to Tabor? I mean,
it doesn't apply to, fees, quote unquote.
Well, I mean,
could we have it?
We That's why we really, really need that initiative that's being worked on right now.
Right,
right. To limit fees and to more define that. And that's why we need, quite frankly, just an ultimate straight-up income tax cut that hopefully gets on the ballot as well.
Yeah, well, I signed on for that one. But let me read you what our beloved governor said on the 11th. In order for Coloradans to enjoy more of Colorado, we all love, we have to continue wearing masks whenever we leave the house. When we pair social distancing with widespread mask wearing, we put ourselves in a position for success. So put on that diaper every day. Everyone,
maybe you should put a fee on the masks or something.
Yeah,
you
know, you can make a lot of money out of that. Just wear your diaper wherever you hear, face diaper wherever you can. I mean, he's awful. He's awful.
What's ever happened to you guys? I know we're pushing a resolution to say, hey, give up your emergency powers. What's going on with that?
Yeah, we have that resolution. But, you know, that was from the very, very beginning. There's a lot of folks pushing that. We knew it was going to happen. They're just not going to bring it up.
Yeah.
And that's what happens because they have the majority. So they don't have to bring it up on the calendar. That's the prerogative. So the real thing we have to do is actually win some elections.
So basically,
you have to learn how to win elections. Well, you have to figure out and fight ballot harvesting, which at least on the national scale, at least the Republicans on a national scale are going bonkers on ballot harvesting. I promise you, in Adams County, every major official is ahead until all of a sudden all the ballot harvesting came in the last minute and lost every office. Yet we never see any people screaming about how crooked the whole thing is. Never mind. You're never going to win.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. Let me throw another thing at you. I saw Colorado Citizen Press has done some great investigative work on the Democrat dark money being thrown in, and maybe you know, I apologize if you don't for throwing this at you, but the Democrat dark money being thrown in Republican primaries. What's going on? But the primary is, what, the 30th? What's going on with that?
I did see that. I haven't had a chance to really look at it. We've been so busy down here, but I guess it's not shocking. I think there was like some sort of Hillary Clinton, like what was her name, Murdoch or something, connection to it.
But they're not supporting they're not supporting Democrats. They're supporting Rhino Republicans.
Yeah, it's like,
they're putting all the money in to support Rhino Republicans, and of course, the Rhino Republicans are always screwing the conservatives anyway.
Patrick,
friends for the future.
We need to just come down there and riot and take over. You
yes,
know all those
yes.
guys? They just created like their own little zone.
Yeah, that's
we
right.
We need to just go do that at the Capitol and say
a Democratic free zone where none of those idiots are killing us.
That's right. And as long as we spray paint a bunch of stuff, I guess
and beat up a few people, loot a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, trash.
Maybe I can get that driver for free, you know.
And then get. I mean, did the Democrats? Try to explain this to us. It's like the country is hurting. Businesses are reeling. Restaurants are closing. You know, I'm just now talking to people I do business with and at the newspaper who are just hopefully trying to get back on their feet. And all of a sudden, the Democrats at the legislature are like, okay, now we're going to tax the heck out of you because you haven't been hurt enough. I mean, what is their thinking?
Oh, it's absolutely insane. And that's what I said last night on this bill. Is like, we're at a point where businesses, you know, in February, everything looked bright, everything looked good. And then COVID hits and most of them said, okay, yeah, we're going to do our part. We're going to shut down for 2 weeks. This makes, you know, we want to be helpful and be part of the solution, not part of the problem. They did the right thing or what they thought at the time was the right thing. They all shut down. Then 14 days turns into 30, 30 turns into 60. And now it's just
60 turns into permanently
kind of open up, but not really, only at half capacity. And then now we're starting to finally reopen, see a light at the end of the tunnel. What do the Democrats do? They come in and soak them with a bunch of new taxes. It's like, it's almost like they said, hey, guys, we need some lifeblood, you know, and the businesses give up their veins, the individuals give up their veins, say, we'll donate blood, and the state's going, well, we need a little more.
Just give us the heart.
You know, kill you off.
Forget the blood. We'll take the heart. Well, this is another one of the governor's wonderful press conferences. It's just so disgusting. He's got the Can-Do Colorado Community Challenge, calls on local government business to continue finding safe and sustainable opportunities to jumpstart local economy, implement these practices until a cure or a vaccine is created.
Oh, good God.
Wait a minute. We've never figured out a cure for a lot of it. What? Does it mean it's permanent?
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely nuts. A lot of these will never have a cure or a vaccine. And quite frankly, what we've seen right now, there's, like, I've gotten texts from the State Patrol telling us how many folks have been out there. We had even for the vaccine rally, there was like estimates of 3,000 people. There's been 3,000 to 5,000 people at some of these protests downtown, and we're not seeing this huge, ginormous spike and people dropping like flies, like they all predicted. I think it's just it's over. I think it's time to start totally reopening up. And if we don't do that, that's our budget. Just drives me crazy because they keep saying, "Oh, well, we got to add more taxes." Well, next year, if we don't reopen and actually the cure for our budget crisis is to get the economy going again, and that's what we got to do first.
Right.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, it's kind of weird. I take my scientific advice now. The only person I trust now is a former New York Times reporter, Alex Berenson, who has no science degrees or anything else. But I read him, and he says, "No, don't worry. You know, this is bullshit." You know, I mean, but he. No, see, we can say that. That's right. We're no longer on. We can say whatever we want to, and they can't fire us.
You know,
they can try.
Any help on you guys? I know I've been fighting too for business every day. Again, I talk to businesses who talk about the regulations just being insane. I was talking earlier, Patrick. You know, our little guy was going to go to summer camp, and the summer camp they can go to golf and to tennis. And then the city of Denver came down and said, even though it's the same kids, right? They go from here to here to here. They said, nope, can't do that. So instead, I have
can't
to go
mingle
there.
Kids yeah, can't, or something.
I mean, and the business is trying to explain to them, that's ludicrous. You don't understand how it's working. And they're like, don't care.
We don't care.
Can't do that. I mean, if you're a business, it's tough enough trying to figure out what can I or can't I do.
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. Even in the class, you know, the classes I'm taking, we're trying to reopen up in Denver, and they limited to, you can't have more than 10 people in a room. Never mind if the room could seat 200 versus if it could only seat 10. It's only 10 people in the room, and there's no logic to any of the reopening criteria coming out from most government agencies. And quite frankly, I think the individuals could probably do their own logic and make their own decisions for themselves. And so can individuals that choose to visit a place who doesn't do that or choose not to visit. I mean, ultimately, we should be leaving it up to the individuals. And what's driving me crazy is because of the Supreme Court decision, all these bills that we're seeing come down here in the state right now, there's really nothing we can do to stop them, because I think the Democrats technically can go till July 20th. I mean, they're trying to wrap up. The original goal is to wrap up by today. Then now it's tomorrow. Now it might be Monday. But it's really frustrating. Like, we've invoked the last 3 days rules. So that's where like a lot of rules get relaxed. But there's nothing saying that we have to end at a certain time. So we have a lot of pressure from citizens out there going, well, we need to filibuster to time it out. We really can't, because it's till July 20th. I mean, that's how long they could extend it.
Well, and it is, and it's insane. Like you said, I think initially they were saying, oh, all we're going to do is just come back really quick and pass a budget. We're not going to do anything.
And then
they're coming up
and then we'll screw you to death.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is it
And then here's what happened, though. They said, oh, yeah, we're going to come back. Everything's going to be fast, friendly, and free. And then they came back and they saw an empty Capitol without citizens coming up and protesting against all the stuff they're doing to them. They said, hey, this is kind of nice. We can pass stuff and people won't say anything. And let's start introducing some late bills. And that's where we got all these late bills coming out of the middle of nowhere. I'm just trying to wrap my head around what they've really done to the state in the last 5 days. And it makes me want to cry. I don't know whether I want to cry or.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, and maybe I live in a bubble.
Or invest in a moving company because, you know, there's a moving company that's going to be taking people out of state. You might, you know, it might be good.
Yeah, where's the closest Wyoming ranch? Let me ask you this, and maybe you don't know. There's no reason why you wouldn't know. I mean, all the people I talk to are outraged about what's going on, outraged about the whole shutdown, outraged about these stupid regulations, outraged about this, outraged about that. Will any of that translate in the fall with ballot harvesting? Because I know the Democrats don't think it will. I mean, they wouldn't do it. I mean, they clearly
they don't think people are going to hold them accountable.
No, they can't hold. Maybe they're right, and maybe there is. I mean, you know, we're just the Republicans in Mississippi in 1920.
Well, that's why I get frustrated too, because when like 1420 hit, that's the bill that's going to decouple us from the federal tax exemptions and the tax rates and raise everyone's business taxes. But like every chamber in the entire state was just outraged over this bill. Every, you know, NFIB and all of the business groups are outraged. And I'm just looking at it going, you guys gave like twice as much money to Democrats this year than to Republicans. And it's just so frustrating. I'm like,
good point.
They're like, oh, well, we were trying to buy goodwill. I don't know what their thinking was, but
yeah,
How'd that work out for you?
If this is goodwill, I'd hate to see it if they were bad.
Why don't you buy some goodwill from Antifa while you're at it?
While you're at it. Hey, well, listen, Patrick, let me, final question for you, because I know you got to get back there. Anything?
No, don't go back, Patrick. No, save yourself. I know you're going to bring it. Save yourself. This is just too much. It's too much for one man to take.
You know, anything horrible coming down this afternoon?
As Julie says, give us some happy news that we're all going to die anyway. What's the good news?
Well, I mean, I think the good news is I do think we officially defeated them trying to take away the homestead exemption.
Okay.
The only other good news I can think of is there was Representative Geithner had one late bill that's working its way through that would actually allow people to visit their dying patients in hospitals and stuff. They can't prevent you from visiting someone who's, you know, passing away in a hospital because of COVID-related issues. So that's kind of one of those good news. But, I mean, I guess ultimately the best news is hopefully we are done soon and we actually see an APA and they can stop damaging the state.
Yeah. All right, Patrick. All right, Patrick. Well, keep up the hard work.
Thank you. Let us know. I don't know. Like I said, if you need us to put on our Antifa masks and come down there
we'll
help with that. Thank you, sir. Thank
you. Take care, Patrick.
I'm going to send a therapist down here. I'll need it after all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
You need some crisis counseling.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Minority Leader Patrick Neville there. The Democrats. That was going to be fast, friendly, and free, and now they've done more in 5 days. It's amazing. Hey, I want to bring our colleague and our friend Karen Cavaline on. Now I see she's there in the Zoom thing. If she wants to unmute herself and bring herself up.
Hi.
Hi there. Chuck and I have, Rev has a little golf tournament. It's like everyone has to be like 80 feet away and everything, but at least it's a sport for kids. For a change.
The first time in 6 months he's got to participate in the sport.
You've seen another child, yeah. So we're going to be at that. And Karen Cavaline, who has her own show, Spouting Off, fills in all over the country with shows, has graciously agreed to fill in for us, too, on Monday. So, Karen, hey, thank you for all of that. And I want to tell folks what you got, what you're working on.
Oh, you're going to love this. I've only worked on getting the microphone to work with the video.
Well, there you go. So
apparently... I've without succeeded. Yeah. Now, as far as planning for your show, the only thing I know
that's,
is...
That's Monday
that's
afternoon
secondary.
Work.
that's Monday.
The only thing I know is that it's going to be local, and it's going to be focused on the local stuff, which I love and I don't always get a chance to do.
Right.
And I hope there will be lots of calls and lots of interaction. But as you know, to do talk radio at times like this, you could plan it today, and tomorrow the whole show changes.
Exactly.
Because so much has been going on. We don't know what's going to happen in the weekend. They've taken over six blocks in Seattle.
Right. You think we could take six blocks of Wheat Ridge over or something and declare it a Democratic-free zone and we're free from Democrats?
What's your take on that? I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, and this is my real quick. My thing is always with these groups, and this is why I suspect it may fall apart. You kind of have the people who are just there to party, right? Then you've got the Antifa people who don't want any rules. They just want chaos. And then you do have some of the people who have their ideology and they're trying to accomplish something. And we're already seeing all of those groups fighting now, right? Everybody's declaring themselves the warlord. So I think sooner or later, something bad is going to happen, frankly, and then the cops will have to go in. But you know who I worry about?
I wouldn't count on that.
The businesses and the people.
I wouldn't count on that. Nope.
I mean, it's, and the fact that they're even standing by while it happens is infuriating.
Yeah, well, it's exactly. The summer of love. It's the summer of love, right. According to the mayor who was the U.S. attorney.
This is a resurgence. It should never happen in the United States of America at all. We shouldn't be saying anything except no, no, and hell no. And certainly we shouldn't be enabling these people and giving them services while they continue to make demands. I think that this is a trial run because they want to do it everywhere.
Yeah.
And everything that you see in one place, they march in lockstep and try to get done elsewhere. Right. And what we're finding is that whomever are your local elected officials, including county commissioners, mayors, all your local government, is what either saves you from disaster or not. I had Sheriff Steve Reams, who I might have on Monday.
Okay.
Because the contrast between what happened here in Greeley, Colorado, over the weekend when we were told that Antifa was coming, and the way the police responded, the way the citizens responded, there was a Vietnam War Memorial, and the Hell's Angels went there with their ARs and said, you're not touching this.
Wow.
There's a lot of things that happened that people didn't know. And yet, in New York City, they're looting Lord and Taylor. So it really has to do with not, I mean, I'm sick and tired of people saying that they're just incompetent and they're weak. No, these are colluders with socialist takeovers in this country. Under no circumstances are these people doing it accidentally.
No.
And so pushback is about our biggest weapon right now. So that's probably what I'll be talking about. But then, you know, all hell could break loose on Saturday. So I don't know. Yeah.
Well, and I know one of the things that's really important, as you said, our good friend Anil Mathai says, all elections, it's local, local, local. And this is proving it, right? If you have who the people who appoint your state health department, who just willy-nilly unelected bureaucrats close us down, you've got, you know, like you said, the county commissioners who can push back, the law enforcement people, all of that. So, you know, I think that it is important to take the local election seriously. And, you know, I mean, the national elections, yes, but they have to. Well, Karen, listen, I think we have our next guest coming up. So I'm going to say thank you for filling in, everybody. Karen Cataline, graciously filling
in. Thanks, Karen.
We
appreciate
it. Thanks for the promo.
All right. Take care.
We'll talk soon.
Okay. All right. Now we got another great guest.
That's right. Our new guest, and she's Rhonda Kennedy. She's an attorney, a conservative African-American. She's running for a Republican candidate for Congress in California's 26th district. Graciously agreed to come on. So first off, thank you. We're glad to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I retweeted. Chuck and I have a 9-year-old, right? We had a little boy later in life. And I saw your tweet with your kids, which was amazing, about them canceling Paw Patrol.
They were great.
And we feel their pain. We also have Paw Patrol toys. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? And I think that was perfect. Your kids, they're children and out of the mouth of babes, really.
Yeah, they were quite outraged. I mean, they were a little more hilarious with cameras weren't rolling, but I said, I got to get this on camera. Mm-hmm. But so those are my youngest. They're 7 years old. They're triplets. And then I'm also a mother of 6 total. So I have a 29-year-old, a 26-year-old, a 23-year-old, and then the triplets. And practicing attorney. Dean of a California law school. And I'm a conservative, been a conservative my entire life. Since I was 18 years old, could register to vote, because I understand the importance of the Republican Party and what it stood for and what the Democrat Party stands for.
Why don't you talk a little bit about, I mean, your thoughts on, you know, the protests, the riots, the other thing, you know, like we said, the Paw Patrol, what's alarming, I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's really not.
It's not really funny.
I mean, it's like Paw Patrol, right? But on the other hand, it's...
Well, but they are banning Paw Patrol.
Right.
I mean, it's not, you think, no, they're not banning
they're like
Paw Patrol.
Dogs.
Yes, they're banning.
We wear fireman hats and paramedic hats and a cop hat. I mean, your thoughts on what's going on in this country.
Well, it's absolutely outrageous. I see celebrities, and I comment on this on Twitter. There are celebrities that say they want to defund the police, but yet and still, you know, their stalkers were arrested, or they're quick to dial 911, and it's absolutely ludicrous. And I am so tired of liberals using, you know, the plight of the Black community as their campaign props. They really don't care. They've had decades and decades to solve these problems. And now all of a sudden, they care about the Black community. And I feel for George Floyd's family, and his death was tragic. It was a murder. But let's talk about all the other deaths. David Dorn, a retired police captain, African-American, 77 years old, shot and killed, left on the sidewalk to die. I don't know if you've seen that video.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yes.
He takes his last breath. Does his life matter?
No.
But nobody talks about that. And that's what we need to talk about. And the Black community, the police aren't the ones that's the highest, you know, killing Black Americans.
Right.
It's Black on Black crime.
Right.
The violence in Chicago, those people aren't being killed by police officers. So they just want to just stick to a narrative and make the police the bad guys, and it's setting an environment to where we're going to have generations growing up hating the police and doing violence on the police. I mean, it's just absolutely makes no sense.
What's your sense in terms of, you know, you see polls that show that Trump's approval rating is going up was going up right, with people, you know, in the Black community. What's your sense of how people are, you know, these people you talk to and interact with are looking at all of this?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people drink the blue Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. I mean, to me, it's I always compare it to Bugs Bunny in a dress. Like Elmer Fudd thinks it's a woman, but hey, we can all see, no, it's Bugs Bunny in a dress. And this is what the Democrats do. Now, if you notice, everything was coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus.
Yeah.
But the Democrat Party bundled the coronavirus. It was tragic. They were losing support. The country was coming together for a common enemy, to defeat a common enemy. And the Democrats couldn't have that because they like to divide us, so they divide and conquer. So we were united. There were Democrats leaving the Democrat Party in droves because of their debacle on the coronavirus. And then all of a sudden, we went from coronavirus to thousands of people in the street protesting, dividing the country, pitting people against each other. Now Republicans and Democrats are at each other's throats again, when before we were all coming together. And so now, and then they reflect it back on the president. I mean, everything that goes wrong, it's president. I mean, if a meteor comes and crashes to the earth right now, they blame it on the president.
Right. Well, right. I'll have to say, one thing I disagree with, you say the Republicans and Democrats are at each other's throats. As a practical matter, the Democrats are at our throats, but I haven't seen any Republicans choking Democrats. I mean, they just seem to overwhelm. You know, have you heard a Republican senator say anything, Pete? I mean, it's just amazing how quiet and supine the Republican leadership has been, other than Trump.
It sets a tone to everyday America, because Republicans have been having a boot on our necks by Democrats for so long. We're fighting back. We don't listen. I mean, bottom line is, there's two parties, major parties in this country. We all need to come together to make this country work. And if the common everyday voters are at each other, we can't get anything done. That's the problem, because Democrat politicians need to keep control over their voter base.
That's right. Yeah. We're talking with Rhonda Kennedy. She's an attorney, conservative African-American woman, running a Republican candidate for Congress in California.
Now, I assume you had the sometimes called the jungle primary, where they have the top two people face off in the fall.
Yes, there were four candidates, and I was top two. My district is a very interesting district. It's right next to Mike Garcia's district. We actually share a city, and I actually ran previously for the assembly seat here, and I was just lost by 8 points, and I was able to win Democrat precincts. So I'm a crossover candidate, and people are just quite frankly tired of our current Congresswoman, Julia Brownlee. So,
I was going to say, a lot of times you think of California, a tough maybe place for Republicans. How's the campaign going?
Campaign's going well. I'm actually up by 2 points.
Yay.
But it's, you know, it's early, and it was pre George Floyd. But yeah. I mean, if you go and look at Julia Brownlee's Twitter feed, it's just so disgusting. She was just pandering. She's pandering with the NAACP in Ventura County. I attend the NAACP dinners. I've been to their functions. I've never seen her there. Now, all of a sudden, George Floyd died. Here she is for her photo op.
In the primary, you're the incumbent got 53% of the vote. So how'd you get up 2 points? It just polls or what shows you?
Yes, just polls, because it was a presidential primary.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of Bernie Sanders. I don't know if you saw Bernie Sanders actually won our district.
Oh.
But they came out. So it was a lot of Democrats that came out to vote for in the primary.
Let me ask you, Rhonda, going back to the race issue, because they make it so difficult to talk about it, right? And I was have a business friend, and you know, all these companies now that have nothing to do with politics or anything are like putting out statements saying how they support the Black community and blah blah blah. And she was freaking out. She's like, "Well, I don't want to put something out because I know I'll say the wrong thing, and then they'll close me down." How is it that the Democrats keep using this and successfully? What's going on there?
Well, one of the things is that for the longest time, as a Republican, like even in my assembly race, I hear you got to take the high road. You got to take the high. I'm a counterpuncher. If I get punched, I'm punching back. Right. And we as Republicans have not been fighting back. We need to fight back. And now that we have more Black conservatives that are actually coming out of the closet and being vocal, we need to stand up and protect those businesses, because there are things that I can say that, you know, another Republican who's not Black, they're afraid to say to get attacked. But I shut white liberals down all the time when they start telling me about racism. I'm like, excuse me, you're trying to educate me on racism? And I actually, they dig into arguments with me until they realize how ridiculous they sound, and then they just go away. And so we need to have more Black conservatives that you know, that stand up and back, you know, other Republicans and what they say, and say, no, that's absolutely correct. I agree with this person.
Right. Well, you look what happened like with Candace Owens, right? And then we had Kathy Barnett on the other day, who's another African-American conservative woman. And I mean, you know, they start those mob rule stuff to try to shut people like that down.
Yes, they do that mob rule. And to me, I just soak it up. I flip it back on them. It's actually entertaining, because they try that, but it just doesn't work on me. I mean, I come from a long line of activists. My great grandfather was actually the first Black state assemblyman for Wisconsin. He was fighting for civil rights before there was a Civil Rights Act in the 40s. So I come from, you know, a line of people who we just fight. My grandparents started the first Black flower shop in Wisconsin because she couldn't get a job from florists that were, you know, their white flower shops. So she started her flower shop. So we come from a line of people, a family that we fight. And so it's quite entertaining for me when I have, you know, Democrats and liberals come at me, because they really have nowhere to go.
No. Well, and I think you're raising your kids right too. All of a sudden you've got your triplets.
I love those kids.
Protesting the Paw Patrol cancellation.
One other kid's kind of yawning.
They're adorable.
That's because he just spent half the time running around saying, "Not Paw Patrol. That's just stupid. How are they doing that?" And then Annabelle, my older one in the middle, the spokesperson, she says, "We like the police. Why don't you like the police? People should like the police. They help you." And it's like, this is a 7-year-old that's saying that.
Right. Well, let me ask you just a couple more questions. How did you explain the Paw Patrol thing to your kids? Because I know I have to kind of explain stuff to my little boy. It's like, he's like, now why do we
can't
not,
we see Paw Patrol anymore?
Can't we
why?
Do this? Why can't we do that?
What's wrong with those dogs?
You know, it's like we can play Call of Duty and Fortnite, you know.
Yeah, we can kill all the time, but no nice little doggies saving people.
I mean, how did you explain Paw Patrol to your kids?
Cancellation of Paw Patrol.
Yeah, they overheard it. My husband came and said, because he came and informed me about the cop shows that got canceled, and he's like, and then Paw Patrol, and the triplets overheard it, and they were like, what? And they just went on a tangent about Paw Patrol. I think because people want to defund the police and they don't like the police. They're like, that's just stupid. They're 7 and they got it.
That one's got to go national.
She did. She's got like thousands and thousands
good.
Of
It's hilarious. Hey, it's hilarious.
Well, give folks a chance.
Well, how can people contribute to your campaign or help you out in California?
Before you get to that, let me say our producers, by the way, the producers of PBS Radio are in California. They say most people are for law and order, us included. Everybody likes you.
They're getting
a
thumbs
up. All these little text messages saying they love you. So where is your district, and how can people help and find out more about you?
It's the 26th congressional district, which is Ventura County, a little bit of LA County, but it's all of Ventura County, a little bit of Simi Valley, and I share a district with Mike Garcia, which he won his special election by 12 points, which is very promising to California. And I also like to say my opponent put out an email for fundraising saying she's the most vulnerable candidate in California, that her seat is the most vulnerable, and it is. So they're desperate.
All right. Well, okay. So, and where can people, because I think we need, I could just tell this is the first one we've met, and, you know, we need people like you in Congress, right? Not people.
Oh, yeah.
And anywhere we can go. I mean, so what can we do to help, and where can people, you got a website?
I got a website. It's RhondaKennedy.com. That's Rhonda with no H, Kennedy.com. And then all my social media is on my website. I'm very active, very vocal on Twitter. Sometimes I have to put my phone down because I'm a congressional candidate. There's certain things I can't say, but I just like, I wish I could just say them.
It drives you crazy. We were just talking before you, we had on Patrick Neville, who's talking about
he's a minority leader in the Colorado legislature.
And in the past 5 days, the Democrats have managed to pass, I mean, they're going to start taxing our insurance premiums now. I mean, it's like they're getting
to save us money.
To save us money. Right. It's so. It's insanity. So Rhonda, thank you. Go ahead. Right. Thank you.
I was going to say that's because we're too busy with George Floyd to see what they're doing and watching them on their knees wearing their kente. Like, you know, that was hilarious. I actually have African friends from Africa, and reading their comments about Democrats here in America was just hilarious.
What were they saying? They were saying
that Democrats are stupid. Look at, these are Democrats in America. Why are they wearing this? This belongs to us, you know. And it was like, well, it's probably made in China, because they were like,
because they're
handmade. It was like, that wasn't handmade. That was probably made in China. They probably went downtown and picked them up off the street.
Exactly.
Distribute them out. Well, it's great. Well, good luck with your campaign. Maybe we'll get back together closer to the election, see how you're doing, and any support, we'd love to give it to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. The Rhonda Kennedy, that's R-O-N-D-A, no H, rhondakennedy.com. She says you can get all of the information there, too.
I wish Cory Gardner had one-tenth of the fight
exactly.
that Rhonda has.
Maybe we can import Rhonda's spirit here in Colorado.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
That's what we do. You know, as you said, Chuck, there are a lot of people, a lot of like Mitch McConnell, silent, right?
Yeah.
All of these people, I mean, not all of them, but too many are silent.
And they let the Democrats
just kind of tromp all over. And you know, again, I was talking with my business friend who the Democrats and the mob are forcing people to live in fear. She's like, she's just got a small business. She's like, should I put out a statement about, you know, my white guilt and stuff like that? And I'm sorry. And she's like, she said, even if I did, she said, I know that I would just say one wrong thing and then I would be destroyed. My business would be destroyed.
Because
blackface is okay. Right now, social media influences are now in blackface.
Right.
Right. And of course it was okay for Justin Trudeau.
So. Yeah, well, it's, you know, if you do it, it's not okay, but everything else. But, you know, somebody pointed out, you know, which is exactly what's going on for the last 25 years or 40 years. When Clinton came in, H.W. Bush, measuring it out, they did everything they could for him. Transition was easy.
Right.
They tried to make sure that they had everything they put. When the Clintonistas left the White House for the older Bush, they scraped off all the keys. They stole everything.
Put holes in the walls.
Made everything impossible.
It's a pettiness that is.
And then, when W left, and Obama came, beautiful transition. Tried to help him. They, you know, the Obama officials, Rice and Powers and others, all contacted foreign governments, and the Bush team said, yeah, that's great. Thanks for, you know, let's make a transition. And then when Obama goes out, you know, they try to steal the election. They try to indict everybody. But it's typical. I mean, Republicans are spineless. They're spineless. I mean, it never changes. Maybe Republicans should get together with Democrats. You know, never see Democrats say that ever.
Well, again,
ever.
I go back.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
President Trump has taught us, I think, and that's why everybody hammers on him. And I think it goes back to, in part, also, you got to look at what I believe is the uniparty, right? And the one hand.
We just saw down the Colorado legislature. Let's, you know, instead of forcing them to the Democrats to do it, the Republicans just join in. I mean, it's sickening.
And that's the thing. Let us real quick on the Gallagher Amendment. If folks aren't familiar with that, it looks like it's going to be on the ballot. What the Gallagher Amendment did is it essentially says, basically, it makes it so when business property taxes go down, the legislature can't turn around and skyrocket residential property taxes, right? So they can't, if the business property taxes are down, they can't put everything on the back of homeowners, essentially.
Well,
right?
Just all of us, when they go up, you can only go up so much in relation, which saves enormous $32 billion for homeowners. And you're going to get, and all you see is Democrats, bipartisan agreement on Gallagher Amendment. I mean, it's just,
It's not. I mean, you need to vote against this because they're going to say stuff like, oh, the fire departments won't be able to do anything. Well, no. I mean, government should be able to, if we have to balance our budget, they should balance their budget.
You can always raise them again.
And, I mean, I'm just thinking you could get rid of the governor's, what's his Can-Do Colorado Commission? Get rid of that, right?
Can-Do Colorado Community Challenge, which will exist until there's a cure and for corona? Until mankind? I mean, it's incredible. It's just unbelievable.
And somebody's paying for that, so take the money away from that. Quit, rather than charging or taxing our insurance premiums, get rid of the governor's office on how to save us money in healthcare by getting rid of the office on how to save us healthcare. It's ridiculous. So don't be fooled. And we'll be talking more about this because they're going to try to scare you. They're going to, like they did in Jefferson County, where they say, oh, we're going to have to release everybody from prison if you don't pass this property tax increase. And they didn't, right? They didn't. Jefferson County hasn't collapsed into crime, at least before the COVID thing. Now it's collapsing into crime because they're letting everybody out of jail because of COVID, right? So don't be fooled, but they are going to do everything they can to continue trying to raise taxes and balance the budget. We were going to have, if Jan Cook is on, I don't see her there. She was going to come on at like 3:45 to talk about a rally going on at the state capitol. If she doesn't, I can talk about it.
You can talk
about it. I can tell when it is. So in the meantime, too, and until we get here, we can 888-627-6008. It is to me, Chuck, out. What, I want to go back to businesses. It's talking again with another business owner I know, and she does facials, right? And so the state just said that it's okay. You're not going to get coronavirus from having Botox, right? You could have Botox around your mouth. But if you want to have microdermabrasion around your mouth, maybe, you know, which cleans your skin, right? You can't. So theoretically, you have to wear a mask when you're having a facial. Unless, of course, you're having Botox. So now that's okay.
That's okay.
I mean, these rules are being made up. That's why you need to pull a
CDC. But yeah, that's true of all rules.
Right. Exactly. But they're made up by people who have no idea what they're talking about, what's going on. And so they just say no.
No.
Right.
Well, they have to, because that's what they're assigned to, make up regulations. That, you know, you're here to make up regulations. You go, I don't know what I, well, you know, it's about, I don't know anything about microabrasion. It doesn't matter. Make it up. And they do. They have to. That's their job. If they don't do it, they say, well, you know, I can't do that. I say, well, you're fired, because we're the regulatory people. We're regulating.
Well, and then look at what they did to the folks who own the CNC restaurant, right?
Awful.
They're apparently opening back up again on Sunday. So what they did to them was terrible. And then just a matter of days after they said they were killing people because they were open on Mother's Day. Everybody went there by choice, right?
Yeah.
There was no spike in Douglas County after the restaurant opened, right? No spike after the Water's Edge Winery.
But luckily, when the rioting and the looting, you know, and somebody wrote this great piece saying, you know, this coronavirus is very strange. It's at Kohl's and other clothing stores, but it disappears when it goes to Target clothing. There's none on Target clothing, but all these other stores. It doesn't appear for beer and marijuana. That has nothing to do with that. But churches, it seems to hate people who pray and go to churches. The coronavirus sees it and they go, oh, it's a church service. We must go get it.
Virus, right?
It picks and chooses. You know, the people looting, it goes, look, you guys, you're doing God's work. You go ahead and loot and everything else.
The good news is, I think.
Oh, give us some good news,
the
Julie.
The good news is on that, I think they were trying before to start talking about how we're going to have to close down again in the fall. I think even now you're seeing governors say, okay, we're not going to close down in the fall.
Well, I don't know. Some of them certainly
right,
are.
Because of the election.
Oregon just did. I mean, Oregon, it's spiking again. You know, some of these insane woman Democratic governors like Gretchen Whitmer.
What you read is, and you got to read between the lines, you got to read carefully. Because they'll talk about coronavirus cases spiking, right? Spiking. Because that's sort of a spiking sounds bad. You don't want to be spiked, right?
Right.
But then they realize, well, the reason they're spiking is because there are so many more tests, right?
Well, you go around Denver, free coronavirus testing here, free coronavirus testing.
Right.
Free, I mean, it's all over the place.
So, of course,
kind of go, yeah, but hospitalizations are increasing. You go, oh, no. And they kind of go, as Alex Berenson explains, of course, they're opening up the hospitals. People are finally getting their prostate cancer done and their other ones done. And yeah, they're hospitals, because they've cut it off for months.
Well, and that's what they do.
And then, so then they're kind of, okay, yeah, but the But the coronavirus-related hospitalizations are going up. And Alex Berenson, again, of course they are, because they test everybody who comes in for coronavirus. So if you came in for a hip replacement and showed some coronavirus in you, then you're a coronavirus patient. They're lying everything.
It is, and you got to keep in mind, they say hospitalizations are up, and just like you said, what they don't explain is not coronavirus hospitalizations are not up, right? It's just hospitalizations are up. There was a thing on that, just you got to be so careful because they are—
No, you don't have to be careful. Well, they're lying to you. Whatever they say, it's a lie. You don't have to be careful at all.
There was an article in the Denver Post the other day, and I think it was an Associated Press article, about the arguments being made in the General Flynn case today. And it said, report finds abuse, government abuse in Flynn case, right? Well, number one, it wasn't a report. It was the
pleading from—
it was a pleading in a court file.
From Gleason, who is Sullivan's advocate, or Mikai.
It'd be like if a defense attorney found the brief that said the client was innocent, saying, yeah, report finds client innocent. I mean, they called it a report. It was in no way, shape, or form a report.
And the hearing was all— Karen Henderson.
Oh, you wanted to talk about the hearing.
Yeah, yeah, well, and then I've got to get my pre-Father's Day gift going.
Took us literally today.
But Karen Henderson went, oh, this is great. We got a Trump row, and then Wilkerson comes on, and Wilkerson is just crazy, right? I mean, he might as well be blood brother to Sullivan. And you go, oh, okay, well,
he's one of the judges.
He's one of the judges, or three of them. And so you go, okay, well, great, she'll be good. She's a Republican, Bush, yeah. But then I look up her background. They had a case called the Heller case that went up to the Supreme Court, which found that you did have a Second Amendment right to carry have a gun in your house in Washington, D.C. And it was, but it had gone to district courts that said you didn't. And then it went up to the D.C. Circuit, which she sits on, and she's one of the 11 judges. And she's part of that three-person panel. And they found, oh, yes, you do have a right. And the Supreme Court came back and said, yes, you do. But in that district court won, I mean, the appellate court won, it was a 2-1, and she was a dissent. She said, one, the Second Amendment doesn't apply to the District of Columbia because it's not a state. And I was like, what?
Second Amendment doesn't—
What? And then she says, and even if it did, it only applies to militias. You go, this is a Republican? We have no rights other than, you know, the National Guard? And that's
who
we got.
Republican,
so. She's awful. She said, we have to have regular order. And poor. And I know exactly. You get
you
this.
You can hear Sidney Powell in her voice. She was like,
It's a voice of exasperation. It's kind of going, you realize this costs millions to kind of come up and down and go back and say, oh yeah, but that's okay. And I can tell you, when you get that exasperated tone in your voice, judges hate it.
Judges don't like that.
Just hate it.
Right.
And so, you know, Sidney was the government person who was arguing on behalf of the Department of State, didn't really care that much about the case. I mean, he's arguing, but he doesn't really care. So he was far more effective than Sidney, who's kind of going, yeah, but they look at all the Flynn, look at all the Brady, look at this, look at that, look at this. You can't be asking me these questions. And she was just so exasperated. And I know I have to, when I argued those cases, you know, if I start feeling myself getting that exasperated one, I had to cut it off because it was going to—
Well, and again, this just shows, you know, I think we've seen there is, things are falling apart to a certain extent, which is why this upcoming election is so important. There's, you know, problems with the police, right? We've talked about problems with prosecutors. Now you've got the judiciary, a judge, basically saying, I don't care that they're going to drop the charges. I'm going to go ahead and hold my own trial. And the other judge is saying, you know, we don't want to really intervene in that. You know, go ahead and do that. And meanwhile, poor General Flynn is like, you know, lost everything. It's been years of his life.
Every time you think, nightmare's over for Flynn. Yes, the Justice Department has said they're going to dismiss the case. Yes, you know, that Sullivan comes, say, not only that, I'm going to fine you for contempt because you said you were guilty. I mean, it's just,
insanity.
It's every time you think that right now, you know, there's sometimes you kind of like feel like, hey, everything's going perfectly. Right now, I don't know about you, but my own feeling is, God, coronavirus bullshit. There's all this other we can say that. We can say that.
I've been in broadcasting my entire career. Right. Alarm, alarm, alarm. I know. But
everything seems going weirder and weirder, whether it's, you know, the Chaz free zone, the fund the police. I mean, police reform, I think, is a great idea.
The thing is, I turn around and I got to think, that there are, again, because when I'm out and about, and I'm out and about a lot more anymore, people are just kind of...
You're going to a different liquor store?
Yeah, yeah. No. People are like, what is going on? I mean, and they're not, it's like we are, they're not angry about it, right? But what they are doing is they're saying, so is coronavirus not a thing anymore, right? They're saying, so I'm not worried about that.
And yeah, then, well, it's a twilight zone. That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
I had an uncle used to be a director on Twilight Zone.
No, it is. But I think the average person, and that's right.
But here's one positive thing.
Oh, are you going to go now?
I'm going to leave, and I'm going to get my pre-Father's Day gift.
I was unaware that it was the most expensive driver in the
universe.
Well,
I'm going to get a bargain. I'm going to get...
I'm going to cost more than a house. Like I said, we'll be broadcasting next from our van on the side of the road until they move
only
us.
One club. How much can one club cost?
Yeah. All right.
$10,000 is not a bad price if you got a good driver.
Yeah,
no, it's not that. It's a couple hundred.
All right. Chuck is leaving. It's
Bye.
Let me go. I thought we were going to have Jan Cook, and my apologies, Jan, if you're there and somehow I'm missing it. But I want to let folks know that there is another rally. They do a great job putting rallies together at the state capitol. It's going to be Sunday, I think, from noon to 5. Just so you know, this is going to be on the east side of the Capitol. So you're going to want to go over on the, normally it's on the west steps, right, looking toward the mountains. This is going to be on the other side. And essentially, they're going to have music. They're going to have all kinds of stuff. It's just going to be fun, sort of a freedom rally. But I think it is important. I know I'm going to be there. I don't know if Chuck will be there. One, I don't like to take Reb to these things because you never know what's going to happen, frankly. But I will be there. And they're just a lot of fun. And it's good to go. And you meet like-minded people. You can forget all your troubles, I guess, for a little while and go there. And I think it's also good to let the people know, the media, just the people who drive by, that, hey, there are people who we support each other. We stand up for these things. You know, we stand up for freedom. We don't want to have our police defunded. We don't want to have our taxes raised in spite of the Tabor Amendment. You know, we don't want to have Antifa take over square blocks of Denver and turn it into a war zone, right? We want to be able to say what we think. We don't want to be able, we don't want to have our lives destroyed just because somebody disagrees with what we said or the way we said it. There was a funny meme going around on the internet today. It was a guy who was that looked kind of like a Seinfeld kind of thing, only it was new, where they were saying, did you post, the little black square on Instagram? He's like, no, I don't want to. And they beat him up, right? And he said, well, I thought I had free speech, freedom of expression. They're like, no. And it was saying CNN and Twitter mob saying you must conform to us. It's important to fight back. And that's one of the things we try to do here. I think that's going to kind of wrap it up. Our time is actually almost gone. I want to remind folks, Colorado Citizen Press, our sponsor today, go to them, check them out, coloradocitizenpress.com. I'll do Chuck's Synagenics thing. Synagenics is a great thing. It's been a very healthy change for Chuck. They can do a complete analysis of you, your health, I guess, and figure out, maybe what can help, what can hurt. Is it you need a weight loss program? Do you need some vitamins? Maybe you need to change some other things around. 720-387-3681. And it's denver.cenegetics.com. That's CENEGENICS.com. Also, love to have you check out our website, chuckandjulie.com. Go ahead and subscribe to us on Twitter. That way we don't get embarrassed by our son who looks at the number of subs. He calls them subscribers. And again, you can catch all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. Our thanks to Patrick Neville, to Rhonda Kennedy. Check her out, rhondakennedy.com. And a reminder, Karen Cataline, who's going to have a great show Monday, will be filling in for us. But that's it for Party Friday here from the Chuck and Julie World Headquarters. We'll see you all later. Have a great weekend.